जय राधा मदाभा कुंज बिहारी, जय राधा मदाभ कुंज बिहारी, गोपी जन भालाभ गिरिभर धारी, जन भालाभ गिरिभर धारी, यशोदनंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यशोदनंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, जमुना तीर बानचारी, जमुना तीर बनचारी, राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जैया गोपी जन भालाभ गिरिवर धारी, यशोदनंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, जमुना तीर बनचारे, जया प्रथमाधव कुंज बिहारी, जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राज कचार्य आशतर शत श्रीमादी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी शिल प्रभुपाद की, जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राज कचार्य आशतर शत श्रीमादी भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती गोस्वामी महाराज शिल प्रभुपाद की, अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की, इस्कोन फाउंडर आचार्य शिल प्रभुपाद की, ग्रंथरा श्रीमन भागवतम की निताई गौर प्रेमनंदी, ओ ग्लोरी टू द असेंबल डिवोटीज, ओ ग्लोरी टू द असेंबल डिवोटीज, ओ ग्लोरी टू द असेंबल डिवोटीज, ओ ग्लोरी टू शिशि गुरु एंड शिगुरंग, ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, गुड इवनिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमन भागवतम कैंटो 10 Chapter, sorry, yeah. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, entitled The Summon Bonon, Chapter 1, entitled The Advent of Lord Krishna, Introduction, text number 67. Mataram Pitaram Bhratrim Sarvanscha Sohridas Tatha Gananti hiya na, one second. Ganti hiya su tripolupa Rajana prajasho bhubhi Mataram pitaram bhratrim Sarvanscha suhidas tatha Gananti hiyas sutripo Ganti hiyas asutrupi lubdha Rajana prajasho bhubhi Mataram pitaram bhratrim Sarvanscha suhridas tatha Gananti hiyasu Gananti hiyas have a hard time with that one. Gananti hiyasu tru pulubdha sorry Rajana prajasho bhubhi Please chant. Mataram unto the mother, Pitaram unto the father, Bratrim unto brothers, Sarvancha and anyone else, Suhidaha, friends, Tata, as well as Gananti, they kill. As it is practically seen, he indeed, Ashutripaha, those who envy the lives of others for their personal sense gratification, Lubdaha, greedy, Rajanaha, such kings. Prajashaha, almost always, Bhuvi, on the earth. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Kings, greedy for sense gratification on this earth, almost always kill their enemies indiscriminately. To satisfy their own whims, they may kill anyone, even their mothers, fathers, brothers, or friends. Purport. We have seen in the history of India that Arunsep killed his brothers and nephews and imprisoned his father to fulfill political ambitions. There have been many similar instances, and Kamsa was the same type of king. Kamsa did not hesitate to kill his nephews and imprison his sister and his father. For demons to do such thing is not astonishing. Nonetheless, although Kamsa was a demon, he was aware that Lord Vishnu cannot be killed, and thus he obtained salvation. Even partial understanding of the activities of Lord Vishnu makes one eligible for salvation. Kamsa knew a little about Krishna, that he could not be killed, and therefore he obtained salvation, although he thought of Vishnu Krishna as an enemy. What then is to be said of one who knows Krishna perfectly from the descriptions of the Shastras like Bhagavad Gita? It is therefore the duty of everyone to read Bhagavad Gita and understand Krishna perfectly. This will make one's life successful. Mataram pitaram bhratrim sarvanscha sruhidas tatha gnanti hi asutripo lubdha rajana prajasho bhuvi. Kings greedy for sense gratification on this earth almost always kill their enemies indiscriminately. To satisfy their own whims, they may kill anyone, even their mothers, fathers, brothers, or friends. Omagyana timirandasya jananjana shalakaya chakshur umilitam yena tasmai sri guruve namaha. Namo om Vishnu padaya Krishna sarvatare shimate roma paswami iti namine. Namo om Vishnu padaya Krishna besaya butale shimate bhakti vedanta swami iti namine. Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashatya Deshatarine Vanchakalpatarubhyasha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patinanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha. It is said that the root of all evil is selfishness. Sometimes we hear that at the root of all evils is lust, greed, anger, pride. But all these are manifestations of selfishness. And according to how intense or the intensity of the manifestations of this selfishness, then we can understand a person to be, more demoniac, like that. According to the intensity of the manifestation of their own selfishness. So what is this selfishness? Selfishness means that everything have to be centered on the self, basically. Me at the center. So, and the whole world have to be serving that center or serving me. So the description of the mentality that Krishna gives in the Bhagavad Gita, the famous phrase Ishvara Aham Aham Bhogi, that centers the self as I am in full control, I am the controller, the supreme controller, I am the supreme enjoyer, the position. So, and in anything that actually can become an obstacle to this position, then have to be eliminated. So, Prabhupada explains this manifestation of selfishness have different degrees of intensity. At the most gross levels is plainly focused on the self, me at the center, and that's it. And then when that selfishness starts to extend, then it's me and my family, my immediate family. And as it stands, me and my community, people that are like me, part, you know, the same makeup, same culture, the same background. And then it can extend me and my race, me and my, human beings, what would you say? What's the word for that? My species, like that. So, but it's all centered on the self. It's about me. So I can extend it. So that selfishness means anything that comes against my family have to be eliminated. Anything that comes against my community, it have to be eliminated, like that. So that is a demoniac trait. That's what basically defines the demoniac propensity and mentality, that selfishness. On the other side, or contrary to that, opposite to that, is selflessness. So there is selfishness, there is selflessness. Selflessness is when you're not at the center, when someone else is at the center. And depending on your conception of life, then something else can be at the center. You know, it could be my family as a center, my community as at the center, like that. Or it could be the proper, which is God is at the center. But so you have selflessness and selfishness. Selflessness allows one to elevate oneself. Selflessness is a trait of goodness. Selfishness is a trait of passion and ignorance. So goodness helps us elevate, puts us in the right environment to understand transcendental knowledge or transcendental truth, the absolute truth. Selfishness basically brings us down into more and more gross material entanglement. So the descriptions of the demons is that this selfishness is so strongly manifested that they're capable of actually destroying even their own family. And it is not only that, it is explained that even that to satisfy their own whims, they may kill anyone, even mother, father, brothers, or friends. And it's described like even because that is something that goes so against the fiber or the moral fiber of a human being to always go do harm your own, you know, your family it creates this sort of shock. It goes against, you know, any sort of like yeah, moral fiber like that. Because those are the immediate connections that you have. That's just part of one's existence. One belongs, one take birth in a family. One have a father and a mother, one have siblings that you grow with. Is the people that, you know, from the very time of your birth is there with you. So when selfishness is so strong that you're capable of even harming for your own wins, to satisfy your own wins, your family, then those are very strong manifestations of demons. Even worse are those who harm their own children. And then we have, you know, historically, demons that are ready to kill their own offspring or harm for their own, you know, selfish purposes. Example, Hiranyakashipu. He was ready to kill Prahlad Maharaj because Prahlad Maharaj was a devotee of Lord Vishnu, who was the most hated person in Hiranyakashipu's, you know, existence. So that's very shocking when, you know, someone is ready to harm their own children. That's why in society the most hated criminals are those who are the child abusers. Even it's explained that when a child molester goes to jail, even the criminals, you know, I mean, the criminals hate these people. In general, they get killed in jail. They get beaten to death in jail by other criminals, by other murderers or criminals. So even in the society of demons, in the society of criminals, the child molesters are considered the worst of the worst. They don't even be accepted by their own demoniac people. Because it's so against, and just imagine the position of a demon, this demoniac manifestation, that just for the purpose of satisfying your own self, you're willing to harm or sacrifice even those who are very close to you. What to speak of others? I mean, that tells you, know, what is their position even to other living entities. If you're able to actually, for your own satisfaction, harm your own offspring, your children, your mother, your father, what to speak of all others? So Kamsa was in that position too. You know, just to be able to kill the children of Devaki, just to be able to imprison his own sister and father because of sustaining, or because of his desire for power, his selfish motivation. The term for selfishness, one of the Sanskrit terms for selfishness is swartha, which is also translated as your personal interest. So swartha means is my, what is of my personal interest, my, what is what I consider valuable for me. So, just for the sake of my own self-interest, I'm ready to do anything. I'm ready to do anything. And nothing can actually come, you know, in between. Even if to satisfy myself and my whims, I'm willing to sacrifice, you know, anything, even my own children. Like that. So that is demoniac in the full manifestation. I found even before going to that, you know, now it is explained here that Krishna is able to personally give salvation to these demons, kill the demons. So Krishna killed the demons. He comes, it's part of his mission. Paritranaya Shadunam Vinashaya Chaduskritam. He comes to eliminate the demons. His purpose, that is Krishna's purpose. And when he eliminates the demons, he actually frees them from this demoniac propensity. So demons becomes, when they kill by Krishna, they become liberated. And they obtain salvation, however, not the same salvation that devotees obtain, but they do obtain, they become relieved from that demoniac propensity. In Kali Yuga, same personality of Godhead, in his most magnanimous manifestation, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, comes to kill the demoniac mentality. So he doesn't kill the demons physically, but he kills the demoniac propensity. The purpose of the Lord. And those who serve the Lord, they're actually pretty much in tune or in sync with the Lord's purpose, which is to eliminate this demoniac propensity, to destroy it. In the passions of Lord Chaitanya, the ultimate demons took birth, although they didn't have to take the birth, because we know that Jai and Vijay were cursed just to take 3 births as demons, and they did their quota. They took birth as Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyaksha, Ravana and Kumbhakarna, and Shishupal and Dantavaka. They did it. However, in Kali Yuga, in the past tense of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they came as Jayam Vijay. And they're manifesting full their demoniac propensities as the ultimate demons, where they were willing to sacrifice for their wings. They actually really cause harm and destruction, whatever they put a hand on. They rule by fear, they torture, they murder, they rape, they abuse, everything. Everything in the, any, all of the most abominable demoniac activities they committed. And they were delivered by the mercy of Lord Nityananda, who is the ultimate personality who represents or who carries the purpose of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Lord Nityananda extended himself, and by Lord Nityananda's mercy, these persons, these two demons, were fully converted and cleansed. Madai was saved first. Jagai was the strongest one. Madai was less strong, was following, was basically more of the psychic of Jagai. Both terribly demoniac, but Jagai was the strongest one. When both of them attacked Lord Nityananda, but Madai actually was sort of, just by seeing Lord Nityananda's sweetness, kindness, gentleness, purity, he was touched. Jagai, he was not, he was enraged. So Jagai was the one who threw the pot, an earthen pot, on Lord Nityananda's head and harmed Lord Nityananda. He actually cut his head very badly, and Lord Nityananda was bleeding profusely. When Jagai was going to do it again to finish Lord Nityananda, Madai intervened and hold his hand. No, 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 no. Don't do it. And was able to avoid the second blow on Lord Nityananda's. And that's when Lord Chaitanya appeared. And Lord Chaitanya was going to kill the two of them, actually eliminate, finish him with the Sudarshan Chakra. There was no excuse, and they were going to be killed. Lord Nityananda, understanding the purpose of the Lord, he was able to pacify the Lord Chaitanya. And the message that pacified Lord Chaitanya was when Lord Nityananda told him that Madai saved his life. And Lord Chaitanya turns to Madai immediately in a mood of his mood changed from this Ugra, you know, like Nrisinga type of mood, that he was going to kill these two demons, to the mood of Lord Chaitanya, with his, you know, so generous and sweet. And he say, Madai, you saved my Nitai, so I'm indebted to you. And he embraced Madai and basically just eliminate anything of the demoniac propensity. He was totally purified. The only thing, Madai fell flat on his back, you know, in ecstasy. Jagai saw this and he realized, and he begged for forgiveness, and Lord Chaitanya was not going to forgive him. But when Jagai just told him, basically accepted, you can actually punish me. I'm ready. I'm ready to actually face the consequences of my sins. But my only request is that you please tell me how I can be free. What can I do to atone for all the sins that I have committed? How I can actually free myself from all this, for the terrible offenses that I made? And then Lord Chaitanya softened and say, you can actually go and beg forgiveness from Lord Nityananda. And of course, Lord Nityananda, he was in ecstasy because Lord Nityananda just wanted the best for them. So immediately said, there's nothing to be forgiven. You're forgiven, you know, and embrace Jagai. And Jagai was fully purified. However, the manifestation of that purification comes with actually making right what you have wrong. And the example of Jagai is very wonderful, because he couldn't actually become settled in his new life as a devotee, as part of the associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because he was very much haunted by the sins that he has committed. Just the idea that he harmed so many people. He couldn't accept that, okay, I'm free, and that's it. He was very disturbed inside. He was very disturbed that he actually harmed Lord Nityananda, but he was disturbed. But, you know, Lord Nityananda, by his love, was able to accept him and pacify him. But he was disturbed that he wronged so many. And then, by the mercy of both Srishti Gaura and Nitai, he came to the conclusion that I should dedicate myself to serve all those who I have harmed. I don't even remember who I have harmed, you know, but I'm going to serve all of them. So he decided the place in Navadvip that was the place where everybody would go, that place he was going to place himself, and there he will serve the devotees. And there was a god, bathing god, that became famous as Jagai god. No, what is the name of that god? A god is like a bathing, you know. There is a specifically what Jagai actually will serve. In Navadvip, in Mayapur, you go, you know, to that god. Katwa? Where Jagai used to serve, yes. So, of course, and you see how the transformation of the heart is shown by action. It's not just by, you know, you get your stamp. Oh, you're now a devotee, it's all good. But for this demon who harmed so many, the action was actually what show his position of a devotee. And the actions of Jagai, because when people, it is explained that although he was already with, you know, part of Lord Chaitanya's associates and was accepted by all the devotees of Lord Chaitanya, the people of Navadvip were still afraid of Jagai. When they saw, ooh, here he comes, you know, they were like suspicious. They didn't believe this person was, you know, a devotee. And some people hated him, you know, like that, because of the harm that he has committed. But Jagai was determined to actually face those who was harmed by him and beg forgiveness and serve. Right the wrong. And by his humility and attitude of service and dedication, he became a celebrated saintly person. So the transformation of a demon. Now, more interested is those who enable demons. In general, we're social beings. And when we live in a society that is ruled by demoniac propensities, we all, by association, affected with these demoniac propensities, selfishness. And we all have this sort of interdependent connection to demons and demoniac leaders and follower of a demoniac sort of civilization. So we all affected by that. Prahlad Maharaj put it very succinctly, how do I say, very, very clearly. Yeah. Yes, that word. And how do you pronounce? Succinctly. Very, so nicely in you know, the famous verse, Nate vidu swarta gatin hi Vishnu. Durashaya ye bahir arta manina. That durashaya, those who are a sort of greedy or ambition, you know, they have this desire to, or this propensity, this demoniac propensity, durashaya. They don't know what the swartha. They don't know what is the self, the real self-interest. They don't know that the real self-interest is in connection with Lord Vishnu. They don't know that. They think that what is beneficial is the things that are just for sense gratification, for my immediate, you know, personal sense gratification. And like that, then they follow, they become the followers of another bigger blind. So this is plain. This is, you, by this propensity, by this desire to enjoy, by this ignorance of what is your real self-interest, one becomes blind and simply follow a blind leader, which is gonna basically lead you to hell. So then we become part of a society of enablers of demoniac propensities. And the fact is that where those big demons goes, then those who are enablers goes too. And that's a trait that is very important to understand, because in one sense we growing in a whole culture that is demoniac, that is encouraging and basically almost indoctrinate us in this selfishness, like extreme selfishness. Examples of enablers that are not necessarily enablers are not necessarily the demon who is killing or who is doing these most abominable things, but enablers as those who actually support or encourage or assist in these demoniac activities. Example. So Hiranyakashipu, the great demon who was, for his own idea of self-interest, he was ready to kill his own son. And he had no problem with that. His wife, Kayadu, had a problem with that, because she loved her son. However, she was not able, out of basically her own self-interest that manifested sometimes, it could be say weakness of mind maybe and character, or maybe something else, maybe she is up, you know, have it was more important to maintain her position, you know, as the queen of Hiranyakashipu. Maybe if she were to put herself against Hiranyakashipu and say, I'm not agree with this, run, and this should be stopped, then Hiranyakashipu will kill her too. So her own self-interest dictated that she have to enable that, to the point that Hiranyakashipu directed her to poison Prahlad Maharaj, to feed Prahlad, her own son, with poison. And she was dying because she didn't want to do that, but she became an enabler. She actually poisoned Prahlad Maharaj. The fact is that Prahlad Maharaj was protected, that's something else, but she did that. She was willing to also sacrifice her own children because of maintaining her position. Enabler. Another one, Dhritarashtra. Dhritarashtra, although he knew better, although he was advised so many ways that Duryodhan was demoniac and it was wrong, he was going to destroy the whole family, he was going to destroy the whole dynasty if he's enabled, but he couldn't, because his own self-interest was dictated that he wanted, you know, his son to be the king, because he himself wanted to be, you know, he was extended his own self-interest into his son. So he became an enabler. And with that, he lost everything. Now, there's others that have different choices who were in this position also. Like, you know, I was thinking, say, Vibhishan. Vibhishan was the brother of Ravana and Kumbhakarna. Vibhishan was pious by nature. But Vibhishan, although pious by nature, he was part of the ministers of Ravana in the kingdom of Lanka. And you don't hear that necessarily that Vibhishan he couldn't follow Ravana. He was following Ravana all the way. I mean, you hear that he was still part of the ministers of Ravana throughout. And it's not that Ravana, the only abominable thing that he did was to kidnap Sita and go against Lord Ramachandra. But he was committing all kinds of terrible deeds and, you know, abusing and molesting and all that tough things, you know. But Vibhishan actually, at one point, he made the choice when it became clear to him that Lord Ram was the personality of Godhead, and this is going to cause the destruction of the whole dynasty of the Ravana and his own dynasty, his own people, his own country. It was going to be destroyed. So he took a stand. And he didn't compromise. He actually tried very hard to dissuade Ravana to proceed, you know, with the act of trying to kidnap and Sita, or to maintain Sita in prison and to go against Lord Ramachandra. He advised, and with Ravana, and he didn't compromise. But then when Ravana dismissed him and kicked him out, what did he did? He made the choice to actually surrender to Lord Ramachandra and act on his surrender, which basically being a participant of eliminating or taking Ravana out. Kumbhakarna also advised Ravana not to give Sita back. Kumbhakarna did. Give Sita back, this is going to destroy the whole, you know, race. This is not right. But he made the choice that when Ravana show is not going to happen, he made the choice, I'm going to support Ravana and I'm going to fight Lord Ramachandra. And he got killed. So we have, you know, we find ourselves in general in the position of being enabling demoniac things, demons, because we ourselves are being sort of more or less by association affected. It's inside, you know, in most of us, this also selfishness. And we become interdependent in one sense. So Krishna consciousness transformed that selfishness into selflessness. And that's what devotees start to experience. You start to experience that you want to do good for others. And by doing that sincerely, one becomes to elevate oneself. However, we have to be our acharyas, they explain to us, or they guide us from the beginning stages of the process of selfless devotional service to the more advanced stages. We get to become aware that in the beginning stages, we are affected by, there's a mix of selfishness and selflessness. And therefore, beginning stages, we need consistent guidance by someone who is selfless, like that. We need the guidance of an advanced devotee, because when we're affected by selfishness ourselves, we cannot do that. We don't have the proper discrimination to understand how to be properly selfless. We may think I've been selfless, but I've been selfish. And that's the sad thing that happens, that could affect one, you know, us like that in our beginning stages. We think I'm being selfless, but actually I'm doing it for myself, for something that is part of my selfish interest. I want appreciation, I want recognition, I want respect. You know, some gross ones, pride, or some more subtle, like, you know, recognition, adoration, etc., etc. The scripture, the acharyas tell us this is in the beginning of Krishna consciousness, the path of selflessness, selfless devotion. We confronted with that we have this mixed selfishness, and part of the process of devotional service, sadhana bhakti, is to purify us from selfishness. But we have to understand that then that's where it's most dependent on the guidance of more experienced devotees. So we have to search for that guidance. But if I'm out of pride, I proceed in my path of my ideas of being selfless and try to extend myself to help others. But at the end, if the motivation is not, the inner motivation is more selfish, then I'm not doing a service, I'm doing a disservice. I can actually harm the person that I want to help, harm myself, and set up the situation to harm others. So it's a disaster. So that is a very important consideration. Krishna is very kind with those who are sincere devotees. So the sincere devotee who is trying sincerely to help others, although unconsciously being affected by selfishness, and Krishna will correct. Krishna will actually, he does that all the time. That's when he shows us, you know, at one point it becomes exposed that we are actually not selfless, we're selfish. And we have to be in tune with that. Krishna keeps sending messages because he sees a sincere devotee. He sends us messages constantly. It's, consider you're being selfish. You're not doing the right thing. And then still, until one point it clicks, oh, now I got it. Like that. But the situation is like that. We see in these pastimes that there's a big demon and there's those who surround these demons that are enable him, that are connected and going to a hell situation following the demon, just what Prahlad Maharaj said. And finish with this. Externally, sometimes we as unexperienced devotees, when we see externally, we may see, okay, enablers. Well, here is the big enabler that we've been discussing in these verses, Narada Muni. He is actually sort of almost like pushing Kamsa to go further in committing murder. Because Kamsa decided, no, this is your first child, it's not the one that I'm fearing, you know, like that. He shows some sanity or some sort of like human sentiment, more fine sentiment, compassion, empathy. No, 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 Vasudeva, I appreciate appreciation. I appreciate you being so truthful. This child, no, don't bring it, no need, take it back. Then Narada Muni becomes a big enabler and then induces Kamsa to actually kill the child, kill all the other ones, and imprison Vasudeva and Devaki with shackles. He shackled them. And, you know, I mean, at least Krishna killed Kamsa when Krishna was what, like maybe 11 years old or something like that? I can't remember, but, you know, he was very young. But already, you know, a good time has passed. And Vasudeva and Devaki at least were, before Krishna's birth, 8 years in prison. Chakal. It is explained they were chakal. So it was not, you know, that they were in prison in their home. You know, sometimes they have politicians that got home prison. No. They were in jail, chakal. So Narada was an enabler. So one may say, oh my God, what's happening here? You know, why is Narada doing this? So the difference between Narada and an enabler like Dhritarashtra or like Kajadu or like sometimes even ourselves is that Narada was imperfectly in tune or in sync with Krishna's purpose. He was serving Krishna's purpose. So that is when you see the big picture. When you see the small picture, you don't see that. You see simply he's inducing murder. But he actually was in perfect tune, in sync with Krishna's purpose. So that personality, they can actually discern what is the, you know, the right course of action. We can imitate that. We need to actually get guidance of how to make the choices, how to properly discriminate. And so we don't end up being an enabler of some demoniac propensity. It's very important. If we and you want to understand if you actually helping someone, if we want to understand as devotees, because that's part of we serving Lord Chaitanya, so we have to extend this selfless devotion. We have to be messengers of that. So we understand how effective is our serving someone when we see the change. And the change is not being taken by external display. The change is when the person is actually able to correct the wrong. For example, if we presented with this position, suppose we are a devotee, and another devotee comes and say, Prabhu, you know, I'm going to renounce my... Say, for example, not that this is going to happen, but someone like Karunanudi Prabhu comes and tells me, this is all hypothetically, you know, or someone in your position, family man. Okay, not let's not do it like that. A family man comes, devotee, and say, Prabhu, you know, it's time for me. I'm done with this material life. I'm going to just join the temple, chant Hare Krishna very sincerely, study the Shastras and Jesus' that. Oh, very nice, Prabhu. That's a goal of life. if we see it externally, if we go deeper, what's going to happen to your children? What's going to happen to your wife? Who's going to make sure you're going to fulfill these responsibilities? Then that's not good. Then it's discouraged. So Arjuna, his proposal was, I want to chant Hare Krishna, you know, but Krishna chastised him. You're talking like an ignorant person. Where is this weakness of heart come? You know, he was chastised. So externally may appear something good. The actual fact is that it's not accepted. So we have to make sure we can see if there's change of heart, if something is happening, is when the wrong is corrected. So if a person is maintaining, if he's trying to basically turn a blind eye to a responsibility by renouncing that responsibility, and you enable, you become, oh, I want to assist this devotee, that sounds very good, let me enable that, then it's a terrible misservice. Rather, as a devotee, I try to make sure that this person, yes, you can become Krishna conscious. It's important that you chant, but you can't neglect this responsibility. Like, you know, the Nazis, the big demon was Hitler, but all the others who were part of that circle, time to finish. all the ones who were part of that circle, they tried to actually escape by starting a new life. So they became, you know, citizens of other countries, like that, Nazis. They even started a new life, you know, in which people sort of respected them, and, you know, created a new reality in which that sinful act that they were involved with was not forgotten. It's not in sight, and you create a new reality, a new life. But eventually they were hunted and they were punished. Creating a new reality by neglecting the actual wrong is not the right thing to do. So also we have to make sure that we're not enablers. And the propensity is to create this, it's the society of enablers of demonic propensities. And I find that a very important aspect of our understanding on how to properly spread Krishna consciousness and strengthen our own community like that. Anyway, sorry I spoke too long, because this is a very fascinating subject matter to me that I think a lot, you know, in terms. Okay, any comments or questions?
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you for your class. My comment and question is related to your point. You made a nice point. Real self-interest is in connection to Lord Vishnu. But before that, one thing I appreciate about these verses that, not necessarily appreciate, but that according to logic, if people are part of the same religion, the same family, the same nation, or the same race, there's going to be harmony. But we learn in this verse and in practical society that even people are part of the same religion, race, religion, family, there's just as much sometimes hatred and dissension. And actually, that was with the whole theme of the Bhagavad Gita, is about that one family group, the Kauravas, betrayed another family group, the Pandavas. you know, due to envy. One thing I appreciate about another aspect, and I'll connect this to your point, is that the whole theme of the Bible is also related to one religion, one person in the same religion betraying another person in the same religion. When Jesus was crucified, there's a pastime called the Last Supper. The Last Supper is the last meal before Jesus was crucified. And so at this Last Supper, Jesus was sitting at the table, and he told his 12 disciples, "One of you will betray me." He didn't say who. He wasn't even disturbed by it. But basically, one of his disciples named Judas took some money, some monetary remuneration from Jesus' antagonist in order to turn Jesus over to be crucified. So Jesus knew. So there's a quote that says, "Man may counterfeit money. In many more cases, money makes counterfeit man." There's so many things, this greed. So, but the one thing I appreciated in connection to your point is that when Jesus said, "One of you will betray me at the Last Supper," he essentially said, the next thing he said is essentially, "Hey, can someone pass me the salt?" He wasn't interrogating them. His peace of mind wasn't taken away. So this relates to your point. You said our real self-interest is in connection to Lord Vishnu. In the Gita, Krishna says, "Ishwara sarvabhutanam hridesha arjuna tishati brahmayan sarvabhutani yantra arudani mayaya." The word yantra means a machine. A machine is attractive when it's connected to its power source and unattractive when it's disconnected from its power source. So when Judas betrayed Jesus, Jesus was still happy because he essentially said, "Judas, you're a spark. You're not my power source. Krishna's my power source, so you can't take my happiness away." And we see that with, you know, Hiranyakashipu. Prahlad said, you know, "Hiranyakashipu, Krishna's my power source. You're not my power source." So if I have to ask a question, my question is that, I have a few questions, but one, what I would state, so what are some steps we could move forward to give up the notion that we're people's power source? If I withdraw my mercy, sometimes, like Hiranyakashipu, he thought he was the power source, and he tried to kill Prahlad, but he couldn't kill him because he wasn't the power source, he wasn't the supreme controller. So the tendency is that in the material world, especially when we're in a position of leadership, we may say, "Oh, I'm the power source. I have control over your reputation. I have control over what moves forward in your life and what doesn't." But that's not true. That's why Krishna says we should be detached from success and failure. So what are some steps we can move forward to give up this tendency that to think we're Krishna, you know, because of our position, that we can influence, you know, we may try to, but unless Krishna gives us the authorization, then we can't influence nothing, absolutely nothing. So what are some steps we could do to give up this demoniac mentality? So.
Well, if we think that if what is motivating us in the pursuance of our duties is selfishness, then it's just going to be a mess. The problem is when we're not aware of our personal selfishness, we're so absorbed in seeing other people's selfishness that we don't see our own selfishness. You know, we don't pay attention to that. Our energy goes out, "Oh, that one is selfish. Oh, that's not right. Oh, that one, bam, 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 bam," and I don't pay attention to my own selfishness. So when it's like that, it's just going to be a bumpy road, to say it, you know, gently, you know. So what should we do? Well, for once, is we have to somehow recognize, start to be introspective, follow instructions that were given to us, you know, and especially take shelter of our spiritual authorities, you know, someone that we trust, spiritual master. So constantly connect with your spiritual master to actually deal with your own self-purification. if we see ourselves that we're spending so much time worrying about and trying to correct others and don't pay attention to correct ourselves, then we're not in the position of taking any type of leadership, you know, because we're just going to create a mess. So if we're not, if on somehow or other, you know, I'm in the position of some leadership and I'm not conscientious of my own selfishness that is acting, then Krishna will, if you're sincere, Krishna will straight it up, will basically expose your selfishness by in general because of the mess that you're going to create. So and then it becomes corrected, and then it takes, you know, to see how you react to that correction. To avoid that, it's better just to just be introspective. We are directed to be introspective. We have to actually constantly analyze ourselves. What I'm disturbed, okay, what is that is me in me? Am I being an enabler? Am I doing the right choice? Am I doing the, you know, do I have it clear? It's when I think, you know, I have this proudful, selfish position that I know what's going on, so I can make a judgment. This, you know, this is unjust, then, you know, I make justice. I push for justice. But what do I know? Maybe I should actually observe myself and see, you know, am I right? And I mean, it's a lot that can be told about that, but basically we have to be introspective. I should finish. I know, you know, there may be Krishna Archana, okay, you just make it short and
in your breakdown you are highlighting that the personalities that play the role of enablers, supporting those that are, you know, of a demoniac nature and their particular activities, and so how they'll be proceeding in the afterlife to the same destination. So then you also highlighted those persons that come to a critical point and they actually make a choice of letting their position be known, of not supporting either the, well, if they were part of that group, they then understand better the demoniac route, and they make a choice or something that's, you know, on the Krishna conscious route or in line with Krishna's teachings. So that's a much more difficult position, it seems to me, because one's having to, in some sense, shatter the illusion that one may have been operating under, or one may have even be presenting a reality that nobody else wants to look at. So that seems a much more difficult position to take, yeah. Say like Vibhishan, and because one is then standing on one's own in some sense, of course, with, I mean, one knows one, there's the that personality, like Vibhishan was, you know, looking to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and so anybody who would take that position would be doing the same thing. So there is that support there and acting in the correct, truthful manner, but it seems a difficult position. I'm just commenting.
Yeah, you have to be in power. I mean, in the case of Bibhishan, he took shelter of Lord Ramachandra. Lord Ramachandra was the one who corrected the whole thing. But he took a stand, you know, and he became a contributor to Lord Ramachandra's purpose. So his service to Lord Ramachandra was very important on the punishment of and defeat of Ravana. Now there's a case of Vidura, who actually corrected Dhritarashtra by basically telling in his face, you know, Dhritarashtra was so much in denial of everything that he did and the wrong that he made, you know, and he just didn't want to face that reality. So he got into this basically sort of sub-reality of being the king. Although Yudhisthira was the king, Yudhisthira was treating him like the king, sort of out of affection, enabling a little bit this reality. Well, what was the harm? Vidura didn't have, Vidura came and basically telling, you're like a dog. You know, he just told him the reality. It means so pitiful and so pathetic. You know, he just told him in his face and wake him up and help him become actually free from that. So, you know, Vidura took that position, but he was empowered. He was, you know, a great self-realized person. Anyway, thank you so much. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Again, my apologies. I'm supposed to be the guardian of the timing, but this was the worst. Sorry about that. Should not happen again.